You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
I'm telling you, I've got to admit something to you. I don't get nervous preaching. I don't. I get more nervous about all kinds of other things, like flying. I probably get more nervous flying, even though it's pretty safe technically, but you're in a tube in the air and it's scary. But the only reason why I get nervous when I preach is for one of two reasons. One reason is I haven't prepared anything. That's not good. Second reason why often I get nervous is because I know God's going to do something great in people's lives. And I've got all these notes, so I know I'm prepared. So I've got a feeling that God wants to do something great in people's lives today. This is Shredder Sunday. I believe this is one of the most important Sundays, one of the most powerful Sundays on our calendar. Every Sunday is powerful, but I'm telling you, there's something special about today. There's something special about today. So you may be seated. You may be seated. Fist bump someone on the way down. Tell them they're awesome. Tell them they're great. But hey, who's ready for church? Who's ready for church this morning? 10 a.m. service. It's so good to preach here. It's such an honor to preach. It always is. So let's give honor to our senior pastors, Pastor Jurgen and Leanne as well. For those of you who don't know, we are one church in three locations. Our other campuses are in Balboa Avenue up in Kearney Mesa and also another one up in Carlsbad. So if you know anybody in those areas, please send them along to one of our other campuses. We'd love to host them. But let's kick this off. This morning, I want to make sure we have some time at the end to shred some stuff, so let's just get started. Let's just get going on this. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 to 14. They're going to get it on the Jumbotron. Awesome. I'm reading from the NIV. It's good. But I think it's different from what that is. But whatever, it's all good. No, it is. There we go. Well, what have I got here? Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have yet taken all of it, but one thing I do, forgetting, turn the person next to you and say forgetting, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Another version that's not the NIV says, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. God's calling you and I to press on to finish the race. God didn't call you to start the race. He didn't call you just to get halfway on the race. He didn't call you to run the 100-meter sprint and fall apart with 5 meters to go. No, God called you and I to finish the race. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Let's go to another scripture. Isaiah 43, 18. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. Forget the former things. This is a good scripture right here, I'm telling you people. You gotta write this down. This is what we're going to be framing the whole message around this morning here. Forget the former things. It doesn't say forget the bad things. It could say that. It could say, forget the bad things. But it says, forget the former things. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. God's always doing a new thing. He's always up to a new thing. We can't see his new thing if we're looking at the old thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness. He's making a way in your wilderness. He is making a stream in the wasteland. Let me read that scripture one more time. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in your wilderness. I'm making streams in your wasteland. I Googled what wasteland is. I was curious. And according to this great website called Google, which is great, it's google.com. You should check it out. It's amazing. You find out all kinds of stuff on there. Like, it's so different from when we were kids and you had encyclopedias and all kinds of crazy stuff. You can look up all sorts of things on there. But wasteland, by definition, is an unused area of land that's become barren or overgrown. Barren can't reproduce. and overgrown means it's being neglected. God's in the business of bringing life back to things like that. Things that you think are barren, things that you think are neglected. God wants to make a stream in the wasteland. Come on, somebody. He wants to make a way in your wilderness. But, everyone say but. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Title of my message this morning is Forget the Former. Forget the Former. Let's pray. God, I thank you for South Campus, the 10 a.m. service, the most excited service, the most passionate service, the most loud and rowdy service, the service that have people that have had just way too much coffee and not enough sleep because they're children or whatever. I just thank you that this morning it's going to be fun, that we're going to learn something in your word today. God, I thank you. It's not my words, but your words being said. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. God's wanting something to do something new in your life today. But in order for him to get something new to you, you have to let go of what's old. God's ability to do something new in us is dependent on our ability to trust that God's new is better than our old. Let me read that again because I want you to write it down. God's ability to do something new in us is dependent on our ability, so his ability and our ability working well together, to let go of what is old and to trust God, to trust him, that his new is better than our old. You see, because we cannot live in our past. I think we all know that. Do we not? We can't live in our past. We can't live in the good old days. We can't live there. You can't live in that place. Oh man, life was so great when I was in college and I was the quarterback on the team and I had all this free time. I didn't have any responsibilities, really. I don't know. Now I've got all these kids and a mortgage. You can't live there. You can't live in this. You know, people say things like, oh, your school years are the best years of your life. No, they're not. The best years of your life are actually ahead of you. And you and I can't live in the good old days. We can't live there because you can't go back. Back to the Future, great movie, not real. You can't go back to the future. You can't. No one's going to ever invent that. Sorry, it's not going to happen. We can't live in the good old days. We also can't live in the bad stuff of our past. We can't hang on to the stuff. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done in your past, your past failures, your mistakes, those things that you've messed up in. You and I, we have to move on from those things. We have to move on from those bad things that happened to us. We all have a reason to be a victim if we choose to be so. We've all got something. We've all got a story. Depends on how we tell it. Depends on our perspective. Depends on what we say. Depends on what we hang on to. But you got to let go of some things in order to step into what God has for you now. Amen. So today I just want to talk to you really quickly about shredding. And I'm telling you, Shredder Sunday. Where's that little piece of paper? You got a little shredder thing there. What I want you to do during the service here is just, you know, if you need a pen, just wave around now like a crazy person. An usher will give you a pen. Or maybe the person next to you has got two pens because they're really organized. But what I want you to do this morning as I'm preaching, I want you to think about things that you want to shred today. I want you to think about things you want to leave in that shredder today. And I was kind of like Mike, you know, I'll be honest with you. The first time I did Shredder Sunday was about 5 or 6 years ago. And I was a little bit like, coming from Australia, I was like, oh man, this is kind of different. This is different. Never done this before. But the first time I did, I was like, this is actually really powerful. This is a declaration. This is a step of faith. This is saying that God is bigger than my circumstances. So anyway, I just encourage you, just write things as they come to your mind throughout this morning. But I really want to talk through two things. I want us to talk about shredding things that are both external and things that are internal. External are things that have happened to you, circumstantial, and internal are things that have happened in you. We need to shred things that have happened to us and shred things that have happened in us. Amen? So let's talk about shredding some of the external circumstances first, amen? Situations. You know, quite often we'll get things like a negative doctor's report, a medical report, or maybe we're drowning in debt, whatever your circumstances may be. Today is your day to shred some of that stuff, amen? And let me give you this disclaimer before we get into this. Faith and wisdom work really well together. Example, if you're drowning in debt and you shred that, and you write debt on this thing and you shred it, but then you don't apply any wisdom to your life, you might find yourself still in debt, okay? So faith and wisdom go well together. I'm not saying to you to go out there and neglect and not use wisdom. Use wisdom, you know, use doctors, use whatever, but make sure that you have your faith muscle and your wisdom muscle working well together, amen? Amen, cool. Psalm 103, verse 2. Let's talk about shredding some external circumstances this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. One of the benefits of God is that he has actually given you and I authority. Did you know that? He's given you and I authority to shred some stuff in our world. He's given you and I authority to shred stuff that we've had happen to us. And he's even given us authority to shred things that we're walking through right now. Luke 10:19 says this, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. I have given you all authority. I don't know about you, but I am terrified of snakes. Terrified. That's why I left Australia. I came here. I wanted to get away from those snakes. They're everywhere. You walk outside, you get bitten, that's it. And they're poisonous. They're just everywhere. It's terrifying. I'm kidding. No. But I don't know about you, but if I see snakes and scorpions, I'm not going to like go anywhere near them. I'm not going to even walk around them. I'm going to walk the other direction. I'm going to get out of that place. But the Bible here is saying that God's given us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to literally see our circumstances in front of us and actually trample on them. God's given you and I authority to trample on the snakes and the scorpions that are in our lives. Someone say amen. Amen. What a bad day it is for you and I if we forget that we have authority in Christ. When we forget that we have authority in Christ, we accept our circumstances as they are. And we forget that we have authority to overcome those circumstances. And we also forget that God is actually bigger than our circumstances. Come on, somebody. He's bigger than our circumstances. He's greater than our circumstances. We have a God who has authority. I'm telling you, there are some people in here today, and maybe you're just tired because you're always complaining to God about your problems. You're always talking to God about your mountains and you're in your prayer time, but it's not really prayer. It's more just complaining to God. We got to stop telling God about our mountains and start telling our mountains about our God. I know it's a cliche statement. I know you've heard it before. I know it's been preached before, but it's true. We have to remember that you and I, we have authority to overcome. Speak with faith. Speak with faith into your circumstances. When you write on this card today, write with faith. Write with authority. Amen. Stop living in your circumstances. Stop accepting your circumstances. They don't have to be what they currently are. Did you know that? And you may be sitting here saying, oh, you don't understand. Poverty runs in my family. No one in my family has ever not had poverty. My grandparents had poverty. My parents had poverty. I'm just going to naturally have poverty. You don't have to accept that. You don't have to accept that circumstance. You can shred that circumstance. Sickness, the same thing applies. And people sometimes think it's hereditary, and yeah, sure, maybe it is, but I'm telling you, there are generational curses of sickness that get passed down from one to the next to the next. You know, your grandparents had cancer, your parents had cancer, so now you just grow up thinking, well, my grandparents had cancer, and my parents had cancer, I'm probably going to have cancer too. If it killed them, and it killed them, it's probably going to kill me. Well, you can shred that thing today as well. You can shred that thing. And I'm not saying not to use wisdom, but I'm saying to shred that thing. Shred that curse that's not going to get passed down. It stops with you in Jesus' mighty name. Or dysfunction. You think you got the Jerry Springer family. We all got the Jerry Springer family a little bit, right? Shred that thing. Just because the people around you are dysfunctional doesn't mean that you have to accept that for your life. Shred those circumstances. Shred that thing. Shred mental illness. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people inheriting and taking on everything that gets told to them. Oh, you have this condition. That's what you're going to have for the rest of your life. There's nothing you can do about it. Just accept it. In fact, it's going to get worse for you. It's going to get worse. Don't accept that thing. Shred that thing. Shred that thing. Your God's wanting to do something new. But we have to let go of what's old. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Do not dwell on the generational stuff. Do not dwell on There's the circumstances that have come up in your world, those things that maybe even those circumstances that have came up a long time in your life. Shred those things because God wants to do something new. Someone say amen. So I want to talk to you now about shredding internal conditions. I don't want to spend more time talking about this because I think it's important. I think it's really important. Shredding the internal conditions. These are conditions in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, these conditions. The first one I want to talk about is the need for some of us to shred insecurity. The need for some of us to shred insecurity. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Did you know that you are God's masterpiece? Yeah. Did you know that? Yeah. Do you really know that? You might not feel like a masterpiece. You might feel like a mess. But let me tell you something. You're God's masterpiece. Be secure in who you are. Be secure in the fact that you are a son and a daughter of Jesus Christ. Be secure in who he's made you to be, because Ephesians 2 says that we are God's masterpiece. God doesn't make a mistake with anybody. He didn't make a mistake in making you. He didn't make you the wrong way. He made you as a masterpiece. Amen? Amen. Be yourself. Be secure. Shred insecurity. You know, we're all born original. Yeah. We're all born original. Even the twins. Where are the twins? They look the same, but they're different. There you are. We're all born original. Don't die a cheap imitation. You can only be you. You got to be secure in being who you are called to be. You see, I can't be Matt McConaughey. All right. All right. What's the car commercial he's in all the time? Lincoln. Yeah, I drive a Lincoln. Everything I say is sexy. I can say anything. I can say something bad to you, but I'm just so sexy. I got abs. I don't have a six pack. I got a 12 pack. 4% body fat. I'm sexy. You know? I'm going to release an audio version of the Bible with Matt McConaughey speaking it. And just watch that. Just watch that space. I can't be Matt McConaughey. I can only be me. But here's the good thing. Matt McConaughey, he can't be me. He can't be me. And I know that keeps him awake at night. I know he's got a problem with that. That's why he's got those abs. He's trying to make up for it. I can't be Brian Houston, one of the greatest church leaders. You know Brian Houston, anyone? One of the greatest church leaders in the world. I can't be him. Here we are at Hillsong Church. And come on, let's sing Oceans one more time. And the best is yet to come. Amen. Yeah. I can't be Brian Houston. I can do his voice, but I can't be him, and I don't want to be him. I love Brian Houston, but I can't be him. I can only be myself. I can only run in my lane. I can't be Stephen Furtick. Stephen Furtick is one of the greatest preachers of our time, but I can't be him. I can't get up here like Stephen Furtick and if God is for me, then who can be against me? I got a feeling that God's for me. I got a feeling that he's with me. I got a feeling he's for you. I got a feeling, you know, because God is for me. Who could be against me? Oh. And I don't mean any disrespect. That's just, he's a great preacher. He's one of my favorite preachers. I listen to him all the time. But I can't be him. How awkward would it be if I got up every week and tried to be him? Like that. Strange. But listen, we all do the same thing though. We're all in the same boat. I can't be them. You can't be somebody else. You can only be yourself. And if you're so busy being insecure in who you are, you're always going to look to be somebody else. But the problem with trying to be somebody else is you can't be somebody else and do what God's called you to do. And God's got a mighty plan for your life. So for somebody in here today, you need to write insecurity on this thing. You need to write, I need to start being myself, because God's got a plan with my name on it. And if I'm trying to be Brian Houston, I can't do it. If I'm trying to be Matt McConaughey, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can only do what God's called me to do if I can be who God's called me to be, and I can only be who God's called me to be, if I can shred insecurity and I can leave insecurity in that shredding machine today, amen. You know what? Be secure in who you are, not in what you do or what you have. And if we're more secure in who we are, we won't struggle as much with buying stuff we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't know. And then we need to shred debt. Just saying. Just trying to help somebody today. Don't let insecurity drive you. Don't let insecurity drive your life. It'll ruin you. Understand who you are, a son and a daughter of God. Some of us need to shred disappointment. Some of us need to shred disappointment today. Too many people are walking around disappointed. Disappointed in themselves for what they did or what they didn't do. Mistake they made, something they could have done this, they could have done that, but they didn't. They're disappointed. Disappointed by the way things are working out. And you see, the enemy loves this. The devil loves when we're disappointed. Because what do you do when you're disappointed? You hang your head down. You hang your head down. You can't look forward to what lies ahead. You can't do what Philippians 3 says, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward. You can't look forward if you're looking down. And people live in disappointment and they live in discouragement. They can't see what God has for them. They can't see their future. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 121 verse 1. And the media guys don't have it because I just got it before. Psalm 121 verse 1. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Someone needs to shred disappointment today because you need to lift your eyes back up again. You need to put your head back up again. You haven't. Life's too short to have your head down and to be walking around like this in all the disappointments of your life. You need to lift your eyes to the hills. Where does your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord. But you're not going to see him if you're looking down here. You're going to see him when you lift your head up, when you say, today, I'm going to shred disappointment. I'm going to shred this stuff. I'm going to move on from the mistakes I've made and the things that have happened to me and my disappointments and my discouragements in my life, because discouragement will take you out of the race. It'll stop you from dreaming. It'll kill your faith. It'll make you numb. Disappointment will lead to depression. I'm telling you, you can't live in that place. We can't live in that place of disappointment. Shred that thing. And remember, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. How can you know God's plans he has for you if your head's down and you can't get over that thing? The mistake you made in 1987, the blunder you made in business, the money you lost, the marriage you lost, the friendship you lost, the family member, whatever it may be, shred disappointment, shred discouragement today. I'm telling you, you're going to find yourself dreaming again. You're going to find yourself hoping again. One of the most powerful things you can do today is shred that. Some of us need to shred unforgiveness. Might get the keys to come up, or the band can come up if they want to. I want to finish in just a few minutes, so we have lots of time to shred. Unforgiveness. We need to shred this thing. This is crucial. This is probably the most important point for today. Unforgiveness against other people. Unforgiveness against ourselves. Unforgiveness against the church. I'm going to go quiet in here now. Churches don't hurt people. People hurt people. That's what happens. Just the phrase, the church hurt me, doesn't make sense. Now, if you're walking through the church building, tragically a roof tile falls out and hits you on the head, then maybe you could say the church hurt you. Maybe. But really not, because it was a roof tile. People hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And how long are we going to go on
with people walking around with unforgiveness in their hearts, putting ceilings over their lives, jumping from church to church to church, unforgiveness, pain, problem after problem. You know, the other day, I went to the bank, and I was going in the bank, but this rude person, cut me off on my way to the bank. As I was trying to walk in, they cut me off, and they went in the line in front of me. So I said, that's it. That's it. I hate this bank. I'm going to a new bank. I'm going to take my money with me. The bank's going to hate it. Hundreds of dollars gone. So I went to a new bank. My new bank, I went there. I'm like, that's it. This new bank's going to be awesome. Went into the bank. The teller was rude to me. The person behind the desk, so rude to me. So I said, that's it. I'm going to move on from this bank too. Went to another bank. Then my third bank, I tried another bank. Went in there. Went to that little desk where you fill out the slips. The person in front of me took all the slips. I said, that's it. What a hypocrite. This bank's full of hypocrites. So I said, forget banks. I'm just going to take my money and bury it in my backyard. I'm done with banks. I'm done with banking. The banking system is not for me. I'm an at-home banker now. I'm burying my money in my yard. That's it. So then I went to the gym. Went to the gym and I was just trying to, you know, just burn a few calories. You know, it's a new year, all that kind of thing. Go to the weight machine. Some really muscular guy on there, you know, listening to rap music, and he's just like lifting really heavy weights, and he's sweating. He's had like all these chemicals, so he's sweating way more than he should be, and he's sweating all over the machine. And I'm like, whoa, easy, easy, muscle man. He's like, weird. Sweats all over the machine. But then he gets up and walks off. And I'm like, I hate this gym. This gym's full of people that just leave sweat on machines. I'm going to a new gym. So I leave that gym, I go to a new gym. I go to my new gym. I go in and I see that the gym manager, he doesn't even shake my hand. I'm a gym member and you didn't shake my hand? Mr. Manager, I know you're busy, but you should walk around this gym and shake every flipping person's hand that's in here until your hand falls off. I'm leaving this gym. I'm going to a new gym. And then I go to another gym. Something happens again. Something else happens that upsets me. So I say, you know what? That's it. I'm going to CrossFit. That's it. Gym. I'm done with gyms. I'm going to go CrossFit. I'm going to go flip massive tires. Enormous tires from trucks. I'm going to flip them over and build muscle. But then the CrossFit person didn't smile at me and said I wasn't lifting as much as I should. So that's it. I'm leaving CrossFit. CrossFit's full of judgmental people. Don't judge me. I'm strong. So I left CrossFit. That's it. I'm just gonna work out from home. I've got my money in my backyard buried. Now I'm just gonna work out from home. Then I went to Vons. Come on, somebody. Vons is good value, people. And they didn't pay me to say that. I just believe in the company. I have no stock. I have no share. I have no interest in it. So I had 15 items at Vons, which is a great day because when you've got 15 items, you can go to the express line. But the person in front of me, they had 16 items. So I said, that's it. That is it, Vons. I'm not going back to Vons. I'm offended. I'm offended by Vons. How dare they let someone have 16 items on the express checkout when someone like me, a good person, has 15? So I'm going to go to Whole Foods where I can buy half the food for twice the price. And then I'm going to shred this thing because I'm going to be in debt. But then at Whole Foods, there's one shopping cart left. And of course, somebody else walks in front of me and steals it. Doesn't let me have it. Poor me. It's my shopping cart. I have feelings. I need a shopping cart. I can't carry all my stuff, even if it is only two small bags from Whole Foods for $100. I'm leaving Whole Foods. I'm not going to Whole Foods anymore. I'm not going to go to any more grocery stores. I'm too hurt. I'm just going to shop online, Amazon. But then, tragically, the Amazon man arrived at my house to give me my food that he delivered in his little Amazon car. And he didn't smile at me when he handed me my food. So I said, that's it. That's it with food. I'm just going to have to grow my own food in my yard where I've buried my money because I've given up on the banking system. Next to my home gym because I can't go to gyms anymore because they've offended me too much. The problem is not the bank. The problem is not the gym. The problem is not the grocery store system. The problem is unforgiveness. The problem is not the church. The problem is unforgiveness. And how can we not have unforgiveness when we have Jesus on a cross? Every reason in the world to not extend forgiveness. But he says, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, one of the greatest stories in the Bible I love and I preach about it all the time is the story of Joseph. Who loves the story of Joseph, somebody? Come on. It's a good story. It'd be a great movie. So Joseph, in case you didn't know, I would encourage you to read the whole story this week in your own time when you're reading your Bible at home. Joseph, long story short, his brothers sell him into slavery. Okay, you think your family's got problems? Okay, Joseph got sold into slavery by his brothers. That's bad. That's like, today on Dr. Phil. Why would you sell your brother? He hadn't done nothing to you. Like, he gets sold into slavery by his own brothers. Joseph, that's unfortunate. He has a choice. Do I forgive them? Do I hang on to that for the rest of my life? Or do I forgive them and move on? And then Joseph, poor Joseph, later on, you know, fast forward a few years, Potiphar's wife comes along and accuses him of rape. Joseph has a choice. He ends up going to prison in a cell. Joseph has a choice. Do I forgive Potiphar's wife? Or do I hang on to this for the rest of my life, this unforgiveness? Do I hate Potiphar's wife for the rest of my life, or do I forgive her? Let me tell you something. If Joseph did not forgive his brothers, he would have been a slave for the rest of his life. If Joseph did not forgive Potiphar's wife, he would have been in prison for the rest of his life. If you and I can't shred unforgiveness, if you and I can't shred the things that we're letting sit in our heart and just fester in our heart, things that have happened to us, situations, not just inside a church, in family, in work, in whatever's going on in our lives, then we're basically signing up, just like Joseph did, Joseph could have, to be a slave or to be a prisoner for the rest of our lives. Unforgiveness is kind of like driving yourself to the jail, parking your own car, walking in and saying to the jail warden, hey, I'm here to check in. I'd like a cell, please. And they take you to your cell, they put you in the cell, and they give you the keys and you lock yourself in. And then you sit in your cell and you get bitter and you get twisted and you don't go anywhere. You're stuck in your cell. That's exactly what unforgiveness does to somebody. But the greatest thing about that scenario is if that person in that cell would just reach into their pocket, if they would just see that they've got the key, that they're not locked in a cell that they can't control, they just take their hand out and they pull a key out of their pocket, they can go and let themselves out of that cell. Someone needs to let themselves out of that cell today. Someone has signed up for slavery. Someone has signed up to be in a cell. It's a cell of unforgiveness, and today I'm telling you is your day to shred that thing. Shred that thing. This is your day to leave that unforgiveness behind. Unforgiveness from that family member that hurt you 10 years ago, or your boss that did something to you a long time ago, or your ex-spouse, or that friend that hurt you in high school, or whatever it may be, the person that stole from you, the teacher that told you you weren't going to be anything, whatever it may be, today is your day to shred that hurt in your heart, those things inside you that are causing you to become more and more bitter. Don't allow yourself today, church. Don't allow yourself today to walk in unforgiveness. Shred some of that stuff today. Shred that stuff today in Jesus' mighty name.